So we're on Daf Chesamid Beis, and we're up to Boy Minei Rami Bar Chama. That's towards the end of the Amud, four lines up from the bottom. So Rami Bar Chama asks the question of Rav Chisda, and we're talking about a Mavui, and he wants to be metakin the Mavui with a Korah, but he didn't put the Korah directly on top of the kosel. Elinot shtei yesedos bishnei kosle amavui. He sets up two vertical yesedos, I guess you'd call them pegs, for lack of a better word, on both sides of the kosle amavui, but it's outside of the mavui, mibachutz. And he niach korah al gaben. Mao, is this a valid korah to be matir the lechi? Now, these yesedos, I thought that they were going in a vertical direction. They were actually founded or rooted, anchored in the ground, going up, and then he put a korah. But that doesn't make any sense, because that would be a lechi. In fact, that would be two lechis. And if you put a korah on top, it would be a tzuras ha-pesach. That would be a great way of being matir a mav. But the answer is that these pegs are attached to the top of the two ksolim, and they shoot out. And they're able to carry a weight. So what he does is, at the, you know, you have the mav, you have the two ksolim, and at the end of the two ksolim, he puts pegs going in the same direction as the ksolin. Do you follow what I mean? These pegs on top, they're round, let's say, rolls of wood, and they shoot out from the end of the kosel on one side and the end of the kosel on the other. And then he lifts a korah on top and rests it on the top of these two yesedos. And the question is this korah valid? Because the korah is not actually in the mavui, but rather it's outside the mavui. Amalei, so Rav Chisda responds, l'divrei amatir osur, l'divrei oser mutar. So we're going to go back to the issue that we discussed at great length yesterday, and that is, what's the status below the mavui? I'm sorry, below the korah, directly below the korah. And we had one man, the other, who said it's mutter. You're allowed to carry under the korah, because it meant that the outer rim or edge of the korah is considered a machitza. And then we apply the principle of yored v'sosem. So therefore, anything inside, towards the inner part of the korah, is mutter. But here in this case, it would be osur. And we have to explain why, but let's just finish up. And Rav Chisda says, "L'divrei ha'osa," the one who says you're not allowed to use the area under the korah, because the machitza of the korah of yored v'sosem is the chuda pnimis, and therefore the korah is outside. Here in this case, he would be matir. In the case of the pegs that shoot out, and the korah is outside of the mav. So let's try to understand the logic of Rav Chisda. And I'm going to explain it based on Rashi. He says the following, that if you hold in the case of Tachas HaMovui, that it's Mutul Shtamesh, and that means that the Mechitza is from the outside, right, the Tzidah HaChitzoni, the Chuda HaChitzoni, then in this case, the korah is not considered a valid korah. Why? Because the mechitz of the korah, we said according to the Mandiyom, who's matir tachas ha-korah, is the outer edge. And the outer edge of this korah is on top of a reshus harabim. It really is an avir reshus harabim. Because the korah, as we said before, is outside of the ksolim of the mavui. and therefore you've set up a mechitza. In reality, you've set up a mechitza that is not really connected to the mavul. But on the other hand, if you hold that it's also l'shtamish tachas ha-kora, and that means that the mechitza is the inner, the chuda pnimi, the inner part of the kora, and in such a case, your kora, in the case of al-gabi yisedos, is actually attached to the mavul. Because what happens is, the kora is sitting on these two projectiles, and it really is touching on, it so to speak has contact with the ends of the two ksalim, right, on both sides, the kora. And that's where the mechitza is. And that's where we say, pi kora yored v'sosen. So if that's where the mechitza is, that mechitza is actually in the mavu itself, and therefore that kora could be matir the mavu. However, Rava disagrees. Rava Omar, Lidivya Oser Nami Oser. This issue of the kora that's outside of the mavu is not at all dependent upon the issue of tachas akora. And even if I hold that tachas akora is osur, which means that the mechitza begins with the inner edge of the kora that goes down, here he would still say it's osur. Why? Deba'inon kora al gabe mavui vileka. The kora must be on top of the air space of the mavui. That's where the kora has to be located. Now, it may be true that you can get a mechitza coming down from the chuda pnimi of the kora, but there's no way, no how, you can convince me, says Rava, that the kora is on top of the avir of the mavui. On the contrary, that's the avir of Rishus HaRabim. So therefore, everybody would agree that this kora is invalid. Eisvei Rav Ada Bar Masna l'Rava. Rav Ada has a brisa to reject Rava. Hoysa Koroso. No, so we're up to Hoysa Koroso. We're going to turn now to Daf Tes Omer Aleph. Hoysa Koroso Meshucha, which means that the Kora is at a distance from the walls of the Mavui in this brisa. Otluya, and again, you're going to have to imagine a kora that's floating through the space, the airspace of the mavui. Okay, now how could that possibly be? So in my Gemara we have a picture of it, and what happens is, at the end of the mavui, in the area between the two ksalim, he sets up a, right midway between the two ksalim, he sets up a very long pole. You know, it looks like in my picture, it reminds me of the old electric poles, you know, they go up. And what he's able to do is, on the top of this pole, he creates like a fork, and that is able to support the kora. And the kora is not supported by the two ksalim, right? Your classic kora, to be mitake in a mavui, is sitting on the two ksalim of the mavui. In this case, it's being held up. So again, you know, if you were imaginative, you know, in a Disney movie, you would have this kora that's literally floating in the air. But in this case, obviously, we're not talking about such a magical kora. It's being held up by a pole, but it's not wide enough, this kora, to be sitting on any one of the two ksalim. So in that sense, it's in the avir of the mavui, it's in the airspace of the mavui, but it does not sit on the kuslim of the mavui. So again, the Bryce is now going to give us the final ruling on two different scenarios. One scenario is where the Kora is at a distance, which is called Mishucha, from the Kosle HaMavui. Again, I don't have exactly a picture of it, but hopefully we'll get an idea as we get along. And now we have Tluya, which is also another another expression of a korah that is somewhat distance from the two walls of the mav. Says the Braisa, in these two cases where the korah is not sitting on the kosle amavui, it depends. How much of a distance is there between the korah and the kosle amavui? Is it pachos mishlosha or is it shlosha? So now we're talking about the din of lavud. And lavud tells me, halacha l'moshe mi-sinai, this is the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, kol pachos mishlosha kilavud domi. And lavud means it's an attachment. In modern Hebrew we call it a nispach. Are you familiar with that? I think, Don, you'll be familiar with that probably from your legal work. You know, you have a document, and then there's an attachment to the document. That's called a nispach in modern Hebrew. It's like a branch. It's like an extension. That's called lavud. And what we see is that two items, two entities that are close to each other, within three tfachim, they are considered attached to each other. Like, it's a, you know, you have item or object A, and then you have less than three tefachim in object B. B is like an attachment to A. That's called a nispach, or lavud. And that's halacha l'moshe mi-sinai. And we have this in Masechta Sukkah, for example. If, let's say, you have a distance between one piece of schach and another piece of schach that's less than three tefachim, then we consider it lavud, as if they were attached together, and there's no distance between them. Again, you might ask, well, is there too much sun coming in? Right? Remember we discussed at the beginning of this Masechta that it can't be Chamsa Merubah Mitzelsa. But let's assume that most of the Sukkah is covered by the Schach. But in there's a hole in the Schach that separates two palm branches by less than three Tefach. And that's called Lavud. And again, Lavud is is one of those principles that operate throughout Shas. In our case, the Braisa activates the principle of Lavud to explain to us how we can validate a Korah that's not attached to the Ksali HaMavui. And the answer is, if the distance between the ends of the Korah on both sides and the Ksalim is less than three Tfachim, then halachically it's as if the Korah stretches to the two Ksalim, as if it were resting on top of the Ksalim, and therefore Ein Tzorach Lahavi Korah Cheres. He doesn't have to replace it with a different Korah. This Korah is fine. However, Shlosha, if the distance between, let's call it the airspace, between the end of the Korah on one side and the Kosel on that side and the other side, in each case you have a distance of three Tfachim, and how much more so if it's more than three Tfachim, that undermines the din of Lavud and it neutralizes it. And therefore, that Korah that you put up, that's a distance of three Tfachim or more from the Ksalim, is invalid. It cannot be misaken the kosel. It's not related to the mavui. V'tzarech lahavi korah cheres. That's according to the Tanakam. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, and this is a shita that we're going to have much later on in Masechta Erevin. We'll have a lot to speak about. Pachos mi'arba. He believes that the din of lavud applies up to four tefachim. So if you have a distance between two objects of 3.999 tefachim, we're going to apply the principle of lavud, as long as it's not four tefachim. And this always bothered my mind, this Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, because if lavud is halacha l'moshe mi-sinai, how could he argue against halacha mi-sinai, unless he had a different tradition? But the Rama writes that there's no machlokas on halacha l'moshe mi-sinai. I have a suspicion, again, this is way premature, that maybe there was a halacha l'moshe mi-sinai about lavud in general, but the exact shear of lavud, that wasn't given in the oral tradition. And there were two understandings about lavud. One was three tefachim, and then there's Reb Shimon Gamliel, four tefachim. Again, we don't paskin like Rishim Gamliel, but anyway, ain't tzarich lahavi koracheres arba tzarich lahavi koracheres. Now, what does this have to do with Rav Chisda, and why is this a question on Rav Chisda? I'm sorry, this is a kasha on Rav. Right, Rav says that everybody agrees that in the case of a korah that was placed down on these two pegs and is outside of the airspace of the mavui, that has an invalid status and it has to be replaced. So Gemara says, my love, shouldn't we assume that when it says Meshucha and Tluya, and we were trying to understand what was the difference between Meshucha and Tluya. Meshucha means that it's at a distance from the Mavui, and Tluya means it's in the air, hanging in the air of the Mavui, but it doesn't reach the Ksalia Mavui. What's the difference between Meshucha, that this Korah is a distance from the Mavui, and Tluya? In both cases, it seems like identical, and the Korah is being held up by a pole, but it's distant from the two Ksalim. So Gemara says, Meshucha mi bachutz, and Tluya mi bifnim. Meshucha means that it is at a distance from the Kosle Hamavui mi bachutz. Mi bachutz means outside, in Rishus Arab. And that means the case that we dealt with before, namely that he puts these two yesedos that stick out of the top ends of the two ksalim respectively, and he hangs the korah outside of the airspace of the mavui in the airspace of Rishus Arabim. And bifnim is a case where the korah is actually inside the airspace of the mavui, but it is a Rashi says he ktsara v'ein rosha magia, right, that this korah is ktsara. Ktsara meaning it's a midget korah in the sense that it doesn't go straight across from one coastal to the other. And in both cases, the Brice applies the din of lavud, whether it's three tvachim or four tvachim, that's irrelevant to us. But we're applying the din of lavud. And it means that if it's less than a distance of three tvachim, then enochinami, the korah is valid. And one of the two cases we said was Meshucha. Meshucha, we said, meant Mibachutz, which is exactly the case that Rava was addressing before. And yet we're applying the din of Lavut, whereas Rava said that there was no question about it, that this Korah that's outside of the Mavui is invalid, because it's a Korah that's virtually in Rishus Arabim. I mean, Korah has to be in a Mavui, not in a Rishus Arabim. So how could this case of Meshucha be validated if it's less than three tefachim and it's lavud? Now again, what that means is that the distance between the Korah and each one of the two Ksalim is less than three tefachim. So the Korah doesn't stretch from one end to the other. No. Let me clarify what I just said. And that's the case of of Tluya. Let's talk about the case of Meshucha. Right? In the case of Tluya, the distance between the end of the Korah on each side and the Kosa on each side is less than three tefachim. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Meshucha. Meshucha would be the following. Let's say these pegs that are sticking out, right? They're sticking out from the top of each one of the ksalim. Those pegs are less than three tefachim in distance. I don't know. I don't want to. Should I call it width or length? I don't know what you call it, because it's shooting in this direction. I don't have the right English word for it. You know, it's like horns that are flat, you know, coming straight out of the forehead of the animal, not going up, but going straight out, forward. So these two pegs that are carrying the korah are very short pegs, which means that the distance between the korah and the end of the ksalim is by definition less than three tefachim in this particular scenario. And now the Bryce applies the principle of lavud as if to attach the korah on both ends to the ksalim on both ends, on both sides. And that's against Rava, because Rava says, how can you use a korah and validate it if it's outside of Rishus HaRabim? So Gemara says, no, you misinterpreted the Brisa. Edi mi bifnim. Rava's going to have to say that in both cases of Meshucha and Tluya, the korah is inside the airspace of the Mavui. And in both cases, we're talking about a midget-sized korah. When I say midget, I don't mean that literally, but I mean to say it's shorter than it should be. Shorter than it has to be. So what's the difference between Meshucha and Tluya? And the Gemara answers, Meshucha miruach achas, Tluya mishtei tzad, mishtei ruchos. So it means the following. This is very, you know, on an engineering level, this is very fascinating. The Gemara is saying Meshucha means that although the korah on one side is actually sitting on top of the kosa mavui, but it doesn't reach all the way to the other kosa mavui. Again, I'm not an engineer, so I can't tell you. You know, this has to, you know, you have to know physics over here. That the amount, you know, let's say the korah is, you know, on one side where it's sitting on top of the mavui is a little bit projected. You know what I mean? In other words, the kosel doesn't reach the korah. The kosel doesn't reach the korah at a 90-degree angle. The korah continues. Why do I say this? So that the kosel could lift up the weight of the korah in such a way that the korah will not fall down. You know, it's being held up. And it's not being held up by the other side, the other kosel, because it doesn't reach the other kosel. It's either three tvachim or more than three tvachim away, distant from the other kosel. But it's hanging. So meshucha means it's like pulled. Pulled meaning you're trying to pull it, but you didn't pull it all the way. So it didn't reach the other kosel. But it's sitting securely on the end, at the end of one kosel, and it's inside the airspace of the mavui. And basically the Braisa is assuming that in order for Korah to be valid, it has to be sitting on both Ksolim. And here it's not sitting on both Ksolim, but the answer is halachically, in the imaginary sense, it is sitting on both Ksolim because of the din of Lavud if it's less than three Tvachim. Now we get to the case of Tluya, where we said that inside the Mavui, right, within the airspace of the Mavui, there is a totem pole, you know, an electric pole that splits in that direction and that direction, and he puts the korah on. The korah doesn't reach the two ksalim, either of the two ksalim. And now the Gemara wants to explain, why do I need both cases? He says, Ma'u dutem, I would have thought that me ruach achas amrinan lavud, mishtei ruchos lo amrinan lavud, kam mashmalon. See, in the case of Meshucha, that's less of a chiddush. Why? Because if we're going to apply the rule of lavud, it's only applied on one side. Why? Because the korah is sitting very securely on one side, it's not connected to the kosel on the other side, and there there's a gap of 2.5 tefachim lavuzogin. And you're only applying this imaginary lavud on one side. But in the case of Tluya, you're applying the din of lavud on both sides. You know, you have to have a real good imagination to tell me that this korah is sitting on the kosel on both sides. In the first case of Meshucha, it's at least in physical reality, it's sitting on the kosel on one side. So I just need lavud to fill in the gap on the other side. But here we have two gaps, because the korah, in the case of Tluya, doesn't reach the kosel neither on the right side nor on the left side. It's called Mashmalon. this Braisa wants to teach me that we apply the rule of Lavud even if we have to apply it twice to connect the Korah on both ends to the respective Ksalot. But we now have defended Rava perfectly, because either way, whether it's Meshucha or Tluya, in this reinterpretation of the Braisa, the Korah is actually on top of the Mavui, on the airspace of the Mavui. And Rava therefore insists that if the Korah was outside of the Mavui, like the case of the two pegs that jut out from the tops of the Ksolim, and the Korah is resting on those two pegs, that for sure is an invalid Korah. It's in the space of Rishus HaRab. Ravashi Omar, Ravashi wants to offer an alternative answer to interpret this Braisa in a way that could be reconciled with Rava. He doesn't believe, Ravashi, that Meshucha and Tluya are two cases where it's Bifnim, where the Korah is actually inside the airspace of the Mavui. And he believes that the Mishnah, or I should say the Braisa, would not find it necessary to repeat both Meshucha and Tluya if they're both inside the airspace of the Mavui. And I might add humbly that maybe what Ravashi implies here is he's not happy with the first answer of the Gemara, because once you have the case of Tluya, we have a double Lavud, then it goes without saying the case of Meshucha, where I only need Lavud on one side. So again, what justifies the Braisa needing both Meshucha and Tluya? But rather, says Ravashi, the Braisa is talking about a case of one Korah, Meshucha Vehi Tluya. It's not two different scenarios, but rather it's one scenario, and it's a Korah Meshucha, which is also Tluya. And what does that mean? Hainu, Shiktsara Mi Rochav Pesach Hamavui Vigam Tluya Lamala Mi Gova Haksolit. So we have two negative factors over here. Two strikes. Strike number one is that this Korah is a shorty pie, right? We called it a midget Korah. In other words, it's not long enough to go from one Kosel to the other Kosel. And it's got a second strike against it, that it's Tluya. In other words, it's above the Ksolim. It's again, in our Walt Disney presentation, it's hanging in the air. Hechi dummy. So what is the exact scenario according to Ravashi? Kigon shenatz shtei yesedos akumos al gabi shnei kosle hamovli. Okay, we're going to need a picture for this. I'm going to try to describe it as best as I can. What happens is that akumos, you remember that we always said that the word akumos, which means that it sort of bends, is like a resh, or in the Gemara's language, we call it an L-shaped. So you have like two L's over here. What do I mean they have two L's? He calls it akumos. What you have is a piece of wood, not like we spoke about, like a rolling peg that shoots out, but rather you have a piece of wood that goes vertical, and then it turns and goes horizontal on both ends. So you've got two L's, you know, we'll call it upside down L's, if you follow what I mean. And these two L's represent pegs on the ends of the two ksalim. And what he does is, he's able to drill a hole on each side of the korah, such that the peg now, on both sides again, you multiply this by two, the peg enters into that hole, that cavity, and holds up the korah. He's holding up the Korah on both sides. Let me just see if I can give you an example from my eyeglasses. I don't know. This is not a very good example, but what I mean to say is that, you know, I have the two lenses, and the two lenses are being held in place by the frame. So he creates a frame of what he calls shtei yesedos akumos, right? So he's got these two, so to speak, frames that form an L-shaped on both sides, on both solim, and they penetrate into and hold up the Korah. So that these two yesedos now face each other. And they're inside the Mavli. Okay? Now, how, if each peg is, you know what, I'm not going to bother multiplying it. You'll multiply it on both sides. Can I ask you to do that? Let's just take one side. You'll multiply it to the other side. What happens is that we have to ask ourselves, how tall is this yesed? Why? Because the idea is to get the Korah, which is being held in place by these yesedos, right, to get it close to the as close as possible to the Kosle HaMavli. Because ultimately what we want to do is we want to have a Korah that is sitting on the Kosle HaMavli. So it's not enough that it's in the airspace of the Kosle HaMavli. It also has to be sitting with direct contact on the Kosle HaMavli. And that we don't have. Why? Because we have these pegs that are lifting up the Korah and holding the Korah on high. Well, how high are they holding it? In other words, what's the distance between the ends of the Kosolim and the height of the peg, right, respectively, each peg? So that how high up is the Korah from the Ksolim? So if it's Ein Begovam Shlosha, if these, I call them pegs, are less than three Tfachim high, is and the Ein Be'akmumisan Shlosha Tfachim, okay, now we have to talk about this other condition here, which is called Ein Be'orech Akmumisan Shlosha Tfachim. So right, the yesedos look like an L, right? So there's the part that goes vertical up, and then there's the, after you turn and bend towards the inside, you have the, we'll call it the horizontal part of the peg. Both parts of that peg, in order for that Korah to be valid, have to be less than three tefachim. Each one for a different reason. The vertical part of the peg can't be three tefachim because the Korah has to sit on the kosa. And we're going to have to apply lavud to see that the kosel, because it's within, I'm sorry, the Korah, because it's within three tefachim of the kosel, is sitting on the kosel. But now we have another requirement. We have to make sure that not only is the Korah sitting on the Kosel, but that the Korah stretches straight across the Pesach HaMavli. So you could imagine that, let's say you had a peg that was two Tfachim high, but it was four Tfachim wide, so to speak, and now the Korah is very, very far away in its distance from the Kosle HaMavli. So it turns to the Pesach of the Mavu, you've got a Korah that's somewhere in the middle of that Pesach, but it's not attached to, you know, the whole idea of a Korah is not only that the Korah be sitting on the Solim and the Mavu, but that it closes, so to speak, the Mavu. It makes it into a, what we call a Mavu Sosim Vishnei Atzdotim. So the Korah has to sort of close off that entrance between the Rishus HaRabim and the Mavu. So in order to do so, I need that the Korah stretch across from one kosel to the other kosel. So that's what we need, a double lavud over here. Number one, we need Ein Govan Shlosha, And number two, Ein Arkon, which the Gemara calls Akmi Musa, and Akmi Musa means where it bends towards the width, is Shlosha. Now, he's got Yesedos that let's say 2.5 Tvachim high, and after the bend another 2.5 Tvachim, then the Korah is valid. And this is called Chavot. So let me read to you, again, if I had a whiteboard, I would write Chet Bet Vav Tet. Because again, we're introducing a slight, it's very similar to all the concepts we've been discussing. But you know, in Masechet Erevin, I have to tell you guys that the terminology is everything. Chavot, he says, Liros Esakora, Kimisha Yarda Mimakoma Lamala. So what we're doing is we're taking the Korah and we're, so to speak, pushing it down. Chavot means to push it down. Like, for example, on Hoshana Rabbah, what do we do with the Arava? Chibut, right? We push it down to the ground. Here too, we have to lower the height of the Korah. El Gova Kosle Amavui, because the, you know, if you don't apply the principle of Chavot, then your Korah is above the Ksolet. Its height is above that of the Kosle Amavui. And that's not a Korah. A Korah has to be at the height of the Kosle Amavui. So we're going to have to apply Lavud, and that's Laharich Osa El Kosle Amavui. So in other words, there's the height, and then there's the, I don't know what you want to call it, the attachment to the kosel. Do you follow? So there are two requirements in a Korah. I mean, again, it's very simple. It's just hard to for me to formulate it in verbally. But what you want to do is, in order for this Korah to be sitting on the Tuksolim, in order for the Korah to be valid, you need to do two things. Number one, you've got to lower the Korah, and number two, you have to stretch the Korah. You have to stretch the Korah so that the Korah is now attached to the Kosle Amavui. And you have to lower the Kosel so that the Korah is attached to the Kosle Amavui. Right? You have a double problem, double jeopardy. You have a distance between the height of the Ksolim and the height of the Mavui, of the Korah. And you have a distance between the end of the Korah, which is a midget Korah, and the Ksolim. So I need two halachas. One's called Chavot, and the other's called Lavut. Chavot is going to allow me to bridge the gap in the space above the Ksolim, as if the Korah was down, and there's no question that it is a Korah that's sitting on the Mavui, but I also need Lavud in order to stretch the length of this Korah so that it reaches the top of the Ksolim. So I need a double Lavud, which means two factors have to be less than three Tvachim. Number one, the height has to be less than three Tvachim so that I can apply Chavot. And number two, the distance between the end of the Korah and the Ksolim on both sides has to be less than three tvach. Mao de tema, I would have thought, O lavud amrina, O chavot amrina. If not for this brisa, I would have thought that you cannot use two different imaginary halachas and combine them. Take your choice. Either you want to apply chavot and lower the distance, you know, the height of the korah, but then it still doesn't reach it on it doesn't reach the, you know, the ksolim on both sides, or you want to use lavud and it reaches the ksolim on both sides, but it's still hanging up in the air above the ksolim, and that requires chavut. Aval lavud v'chavut, to say both of them simultaneously, apply two imaginary halachas, lo amrinan. I would have thought we can't do that much. Kamash Malan, that's what the Brisa wants to tell me, says Rav Ashi, that I can apply both of these dinim simultaneously, and we can use the Korah and Chalice. If it's lessons we thought, we can define the Korah as Arucha Unamucha. Arucha means you're stretching it in terms of distance, the gap to the Kosel, and Amucha to diminish that airspace between the Korah and the Chasle Amav. If this be the case, then this brisa has nothing to do with the issue of Rava. The issue of Rava was when you have two Yesedos on both Ksalim of the Mavui, the Korah is sitting on these Yesedos that are jutting out into Rishus HaRabim, and in such a case, the Korah is clearly in the airspace of Rishus HaRab. And therefore Rava could certainly be defended and disqualify this Korah. Tani Rav Zakai Kame de Rav Yochanan. Rav Zakai had a brisa which he presented to Rav Yochanan. And now we're talking about two issues that we, both of which we've already discussed in yesterday's class. One was what's called Tiltul Tachas HaKorah, and the other was the Keneged Halacha Yayin. Okay, we had this in a diagram here called Bein Halacha Yayin. Now, Bein Halacha Yayin means that the Lechi stands vertically attached to the Kosel on one side, and if we draw an imaginary line perfectly aligned to the Lechi on the other side, so we have a strip which is in effect outside the Mavui. That's called Bein Halacha Yayin. And we had another principle called Tachas HaKorah. We weren't sure what's the story of the space that's directly underneath the Korah. So the Braisa says the following: Bein Halacha, I'm adding a hey. Bein Halacha Yayin V'tachas HaKorah Nidon K'Karmelis. Now Karmelis is neither a Rishus HaRabim nor a Rishus HaYochid. It's not a Rishus HaRabim because you don't have masses of people entering into this area like a valley or so. It's not a Rishus HaYochid because it is open, it doesn't have any mechitzos. So the classic case of a Karmelis is called a Bika, and the Rabbanan said that you're not allowed to take something from a Rishus HaYochid or from a Rishus HaRabim into a Karmelis, into a Bika, or vice versa. Not only that, but we're going to impose on Karmelis the Chumrah of a Rishus HaRabim, and you're not allowed to carry 4 amos in a Karmelis. All this is Midrabbanan. And now, what the Braisa is telling me is that we're going to give the status of Tachas HaKorah and Bein Halacha Yayin the status of Karmelis. Now, before the Gemara is going to reject this, but I don't need Lechora, I'm just telling you out loud, thinking out, I don't need the Gemara to reject this. Because this is impossible. Absolutely impossible. At least in the case of Bein Halacha Yayin. I don't know, maybe Tachas HaKorah, because the Korah we just established is inside the airspace of the Mavui. But the Lechi is outside of the airspace of the Mavui. Is it not? Let me just think. Sorry, I just want to see it inside. That's what it looks like to me. No. It's a trick of the eye. Siriyat Aleph here, back on Chesam and Beit. I don't know, you know what? Let me just see. And not that I should build too much on this. I'm trying to figure out if the Lechi... No. Forget, scratch what I said. Now, the Lechi is also within the airspace of the Mavui. Anyway, Rabbi Yochanan turns to Rabbi Zakai, and he says to him, Puk Tani Livra, take this Braisa outside. Don't teach me this brisa, because this brisa is a big mistake. Omar Abai, Mistabra Milsei de Rabbi Yochanan. It makes sense that Rabbi Yochanan rejected this brisa. And the status of these areas cannot be that of a Karmelist. You're allowed to carry there. Why? So he says the following. Tachas HaKora Al Ben Achilayim Osu. So let's think about this. Underneath the Korah, you're clearly within the Mavui. It's very obvious to anyone who's carrying the Mavui that he can't go beyond the end of the Korah. I mean, that's the whole purpose of a Korah. So we don't have to worry about the possibility that he's going to carry out into Rosh Hashanah. Even if he's allowed to carry underneath the Korah, he looks up on top, he sees the Korah. He knows that he's within the Mavui. He will not take that one step beyond. But in the case of a lechi, the halacha of a lechi is that a lechi is a kol shehu. Like, there's no minimum thickness to a lechi. And if that be the case, the area of Bein HaLechayayim is a thin strip, and it's very plausible that we have to be afraid that if we allow him to carry in that strip, which is very thin, between the Lechayayim, then he might just cross the boundary and go into Rosh Hashanah. So let me see this inside. Omar Abaye, Mistabra Milsi de Rabbi Yochanan, Tachas HaKora. He says, there's no question that underneath the Korah we should be Matir Tiltil. We should not give the status of a Karmelist to that area. Why? Because the outer edge of the Korah goes down, right? Yored v'sosem, and underneath the Korah, he's within the Mavui, right? And he's got a mechitza, albeit imaginary one, that separates him from Rosh Hashanah. Fine. So he's surrounded now by all four mechitzas. Avo be lechayayim, bein alechayayim, asa. Here, we have to assume that Rabbi Yochanan, you got to give some credence to the brice of Rabbi Zakkai, because it makes sense to say that the Bein HaLechayayim should be like a Karmelist. Why? So he writes, this is based on a Tosfos, he says, Kevon Sheshir Ovi Alechi Hu Bekol Shehu. Like, that's the sugya we didn't get up to yet, but later on the Gemara is going to say that there's no minimum shear, no minimum thickness or width to the lechi. It's a kol shehu, it's any amount whatsoever. Is therefore yesh lachshosh shem natil lo letaltel af kineged alachayayim is yovel letaltel gam michutz alechi. And I think michutz alechi here means out into Rosh Hashanah. And just to read to you the note here for a second, I see we're running out of time, but I'll try to fit in at least part of this note, and then I want to get to Rava. Is Tosus Kosu She'ein Levara Tam Achiyuk Bein HaShetach Shetach Sakora LeBein HaShetach Bein HaLechayam Shakora Mishum Heker VaHeker Hu MiBachutz. So we said that the Kora is a Mechitza, and the outer lip of the Kora, the outer edge goes down, P, so same, like we said, based on the fact that the Korah is a Mechitza. He says, you might say, well, maybe the Korah is a Heker, and the Heker is Mibachutz. You remember that we discussed this, that the Heker Mibachutz is that the Bnei Rosh Hashanah, they see the Korah, and they know stop, you know, that the Korah is in a private area. Masha'enkein belechi shehu mishum mechitza is chudo apnimi sosem. You could say that the mechitza always starts from the inner inner edge, and therefore you can't use the Bein Alechayayim. He says, Tosus, that's impossible. Why should Rei Abai be Atzmo Sover Liel B'daf Hei She Bein HaKor U'Bein Alechayayim Heim Mishum Mechitza? So both of them operate Mishum Mechitza. So therefore, if you're going to be Matir Tachas HaKora, then you'd have to be Matir Bein Alechayayim. But the answer is that there's a Chashash D'Rabbanon that Bein Alechayayim, he might come to carry a little bit further out into Rosh Hashanah. Rava, Rava, Omar, Bein HaLechayayim, Nami, Mutter. Rava is not worried about the possibility that he might overstep his bounds, go beyond the Lechayayim out into Rosh Hashanah and carry in Rosh Hashanah. And Rava thinks that we have to be consistent. If we allow Tiltal under the Korah, which is what Abai just said, and apparently Abai was convinced that that's what Rabbi Yochanan would say, then Rava says we have to go a step further and we have to be Matir Tiltal even Bein HaLechayayim. And he writes, if Yein Choshishim, we're not afraid, she Yovel L'Taltal Af Michutz LaLechi, because Kamen Shalechi Ben Kosle Amovli. Ah, he says it explicitly. He's almost like telling Berzon, you made a mistake. The Lechi is between the two Kosle Amovli. I misread the diagram, that's all. Amarava Mino Aminale. What's my source that Rabbi Yochanan would go a step further, and if he would allow Tachas HaKorah, he would allow Bein HaLechayayim as well. It's a head to tilt. The Chiyosa Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, he brought a transmission from Rabbi Yochanan that Mokom, a place which is between Rosh Hashanah Yochanan and Rosh Hashanah Rabim, She'ein Bo Arba Al Arba, and it doesn't have a shear of four tfachim on four tfachim, is mutar bein libnei rishus harabim bein libnei rishus hayochid lekatef olam. Ah, so this is called a makom p'tur. Why? Because it doesn't belong neither to rishus harabim nor to rishus harabim, and it doesn't have the dimensions of four tvachim square, so it cannot be considered a karmelis. Okay, fine. Is mutar lekatef? And who's allowed to be makatef? You know, if they have a knapsack, they want to put it down in order to move it around and take a break and rest up a little bit. That's called lekatef. And they're allowed to put it down. And that's mutar for both someone in Rosh Hashanah and someone in Rosh Hashanah Yochanan Bilvad Shelo Yachlifu. Notice he can't just start in Rosh Hashanah, end up on lekatef, on this makom p'tur, and then continue on into Rosh Hashanah Yochid. That would be a harama. I used to know how to say harama in English. Anyway, it's like a loophole in the law. So you can't, you want to get something from Rosh Hashanah into Rosh Hashanah Yochid on Shabbos, you can't use a makom p'tur as your loophole. And we're going to somehow, I don't know how, because that's what we're going to have to do tomorrow, figure out how Rava proves from Rav Dimi's transmission that the heter of Rav Yochanan is not only Tachas HaKora, but it's also Bein HaLechayayim. Okay then, so we'll stop here. Let's just make a note of where we got up to on Daf Tes Amud Aleph, Omar Abaye. And I'll take this opportunity to thank you and wish you a wonderful Chag Atzmaut. We should be zocher to the full Geula. You know, I have Yahrzeit tomorrow for my father. I have to find someone to say Kaddish for him, if you know of anybody. We'll stop here.